What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
I should know it's all. If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know. Cause you know it's on. It's on. Cause you know it's on.
Tight end. Everybody's taller than me, so that's not saying much. But he's 6'5". Playing weight was about 247. I'm saying he's probably maybe a pound and a half heavier now in retirement, right? From the University of Texas, tight end. When tight ends were trying to, the tight ends today were trying to be what Jermichael Finley is today, which is a receiving tight end, big target. Welcome to the Cut to a Podcast, Jermichael Finley.
My God, man, thanks for having me on, Steve.
Man, this is I'm looking forward to this. Going to be a fantastic conversation. Where are you from in a place you call your hometown?
I'm from Diboll, Texas, bro. It's south of 59, close to Houston, Texas, and as well as born and raised by my grandmother, man. Mm.
You was born and raised by your grandmother, okay? So that must mean you know how to cook a little bit.
A little bit, man. But once again, I get somebody to chef it up for me now, bro.
Really? Oh, what's some of your favorite meals that other people cook for you?
My favorite meal, one of my favorite meals is chicken parmesan, bro. Homemade chicken parmesan. Of course, I'm a country boy, so I like pig feet, hog maws with hot sauce on it. I know you're looking at me crazy, but that's one of my favorite meals, bro.
Really? Growing up, what other sports did you enjoy playing?
Other sports, my first love was basketball, man. I didn't start playing football until my sophomore year in high school. Mm. I got recruited by Arizona, by Lute Olson, the famous Lute Olson at the time. And then my junior year, Mack Brown came around and was like, Finley, one of the two here at the University of Texas, you either play basketball or football. So I'm like, man, I'm in Texas, so I got to play football. So I decommitted my junior year and went to the University of Texas. Hmm.
You obviously, it's funny, as I was up at a couple of days ago, I was up at UNC Chapel Hill and had the opportunity to see Mack Brown. And just seeing, you hear the stories of how he is connected to the University of Texas, how he has always understood the climate. And talking to some players and coaches down at UNC Chapel Hill is, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, he's no spring chicken. He's up there in age, but yet he's moving around and understands the climate. And with the climate of, you know, with Black Lives Matter, the climate of equal opportunity, just everything that we have to deal with, right, each and every day. Coach Brown was talking about it, and you imagine, I was shocked because of he does a really good job of making sure he's plugged in and listening to the players. Has he always been that way?
Man, that's crazy you say that, Steve, man. Always been that way. One of my favorite coaches, because he's a player's coach. He's one of those coaches, if you sit down at lunch or at your meal table in college, he's one of those coaches that come by and shoot the shit with you and say, what's up, kick it, and down that line. And of course, it was in Austin, Texas, where, I mean, a lot of players got in trouble. And you've seen with some coaches to get your ass up out of there ASAP. Mm-hmm. Mac Brown, he'll bring you in the office, talk to you.
You know, I think one of the things with students, too, is identifying where they come from and what challenges they have in moving forward, going from where they used to be to where they're trying to be.
Absolutely. And he done a great job with that. With a lot of my peers, I came in with Jamal Charles, Arakpo, played for Tennessee. So yeah. We're guys that came from poverty, the streets, and somewhere down the line of that nature. And he knew how to deal with us. He knew how to talk to us, and so on down that line. And man, when I said I loved Mac Brown, he was like I said, he's my top coach in my career.
Well, that's stellar. Tell me your experience, your collegiate experience playing at the University of Texas, and what was football for you, and how did it change your life? Or, you know, some people say it didn't. You know, everybody varies, so I don't want to assume.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I came from probably, man, football, basketball, anything that got to do with a ball. you know what I mean? I'm from them streets, so anything that deal with the ball, I'm going to do it because that got me out of where I was from. I wasn't a genius. I wasn't the smartest kid on the block. So I had to implement sports into my life to try to get out situations that I was in. And like I said, Mac Brown and Lute Olson and so on down the line, the coaches that recruited me, you know what I mean, blessed my game and blessed my life. And now today, life changed for my five boys and my wife. Now they get to live the life that, you know what I mean, that a lot of people can't live.
Why do you say that sports was the only way you can get out? You just felt that was the only way? What was holding you back, or why do you believe that was the only way?
I mean, at the time, the capacity of my brain was it wasn't as stimulated as it is now, and thinking of the big picture as I'm now. Like I said, I grew up without a father. Mm-hmm. My grandma raised me, so she was working two jobs. So, like I said, man, only way I can get out the projects is, you know what I mean, at the time was a ball, because the capacity of my brain couldn't think bigger as far as academics, business, entrepreneur, and things down that line. And now today, man, I can teach my kids, you know what I mean, how to play the game within the game. And that's, you know what I mean, making it a businessman, not only focusing on sports.
So go backwards and look at Jermichael Finley back then. What did you sell yourself short on throughout your years at the University of Texas? Just in everything, not just, you know, well, yeah, I could have ran better routes. I'm just talking about just everything, thinking backwards.
Absolutely. My thing is crazy when the compliance came in and talking about what you can do with your money down the line, or, you know what I mean, especially when the guys came in and done the little orientations in the NFL. You know what I mean? They came at the wrong time because it was after practice. I'm fatigued as hell. But it was them little meetings, them little team meetings that that guys don't listen to as far as financially wise. And like I said, I'm doing player development now. I got my own company. It's called Elevate U. And I'm teaching these guys to listen to all that little detail, man.
You came out of college early, right? Well, yes, take us through that process of why'd you leave college early at that time. I mean, we all know why you left college early, but I don't like to assume, so I want you to tell that story.
Hey, your assumption right, bro. your assumption right. Hey, so me and Jamal Charles, once again, we was roommates, and man, we, like I said, we was making it happen on the field. Mm-hmm. We was climbing the field doing our thing. And we came back after the OU game, It was probably week five. And then we see all these scouts coming. I was like, man, we got some money for you. I'm like, oh, man, I can't even do it, man. I'm trying to get to the league. So me and Jamal got in the booth. Was like, man, I'm leaving this year. I put my paper in for the NFL and said, in the first round, I'm like, shit, I'm leaving for sure. We went to go talk to Mac Brown. Mac Brown wasn't having it. And Jamal was like, man, I'm out of here. I don't care what the hell he's saying. So from then on, bro, we hit that HOV lane.
There were a lot of people who would assume that these coaches, man, you know, they would just want these kids to leave early so they can keep showing them how many draft picks they have to keep, so those guys would come back, donate to the school, like just the product coming in and out. And fans have now really got to the point of where they believe that these coaches are just, you know, it's like a puppy farm, right? They get them, they raise them, they sell them to the league, and then they do it to the next guy. And it, just walk us through that, because there is a lot of assumptions that are out there.
Hey, boy, you funny, man. I live in Texas, so we call it like raising cattle and just putting them in a slaughter machine. Just,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Throwing them out. But, yeah, it's one of those things, man. In Texas, man, football is huge. And,
mm-hmm.
and especially with Mac Brown, we had that team coming in that next year with Colt McCoy being the quarterback. He saw that we had a national championship on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought and my peers thought that, hey, look, we out of here. You know what I mean? We trying to change our family lives forever.
Mm.
And my thought is, being a little youngster, is that, man, I got, you know what I mean? My body got to count on it. Mm. And I play reckless. I don't go out of bounds like a Jason Witten. I'm not one of those guys. I don't slide. I'm trying to find some contact. So my thought was, get out and go get the money ASAP.
Mm. So you get drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Man, tell us what was that experience for you personally going through that process? Going to, you know, you're coming from a historical college, right? Historically, yep. In winning, attendance, expectations. And then you fall yeah. right into the same expectations, the same storybook franchise, Green Bay Packers.
Man, it was a whirlwind. I was when I got drafted, I was back home. I had all my people over. We was over there kicking it, and we got the phone call from Mike McCarthy and Ted Thompson at the time. I'm like, hold up, man. I got Ted Thompson, Mike McCarthy on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up, and I'm coming from Austin, Texas, where it's 90 degrees, and I'm about to go to this place where it's below zero.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I don't know if I can do that. So I called my homeboy, Johnny Jolly, at the time. He was like, man, you better bring every Nintendo game you got.
Nintendo.
Nintendo?
Ooh.
Yeah, Nintendo, you know.
Boy, you ain't that old. The Dreamcast was out at least by then.
I'm not Nintendo, like PlayStation, yeah. Any kind of game you got, bro. He said, bring it. Man, we got on the plane the next morning. I dropped down in Green Bay, and I'm like, man, what are these people got me at? And like I said, now I'm thinking about it. It was a blessing playing in Green Bay because it was strictly football.
Mm. Well, elaborate on that. What do you mean? What you mean, but elaborate on just strictly football.
Strictly football, meaning within myself, coming from Austin, which is a party town, a town where it's a lot going on, a lot of things happening, and going to Green Bay where, you know what I mean, you got the Green Bay Packers and you got the Packer owners, which they expect a lot from you. You know what I mean? The fans obviously pay you. We don't have an owner. So it was one of those things where you had to lock in a little bit, and I loved every bit of it.
I love Cut To It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut To It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut To It.
Facebook?
Cut To It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. CutToItPodcast.com.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So you're out there, you're playing, and then you get hurt. Man, I want to sit there because, you know, obviously I've experienced being hurt as well, but I want to talk about really what the injury, not physically, not just what it did to you physically, but also the internal dialogue that you had, you know, and just how you managed everything, going from the cream of the crop to all of a sudden football's being played,
yep.
But yet you can't participate. Right. And I'm not interested in blaming who and all that stuff. I don't care. Just really giving people understanding of the reason I say this. I'll set the stage and then you follow. Every year you get hurt, whether it's a hamstring, broken ankle, whatever it is, you always have that moment. Mm-hmm. That injury, whatever current injury you have, that's the worst injury you've ever sustained at that moment. Until the next storm comes, right?
Yep. And it's one of those things, man, where adversity is going to hit. And I always took in my head, if I played this game long enough, injury's going to happen. You know yeah. what I mean? I don't blame the guy that hit me. I don't blame nobody. It was football. It was a football play. Mm. And when I hit the middle, it was fourth quarter. I was playing Cleveland. Fourth quarter, 4 minutes, 35 seconds left. And A-Rod just hit me on a routine slant. I caught the ball, ducked my head a little bit. I forgot the cat. Ward came downhill and hit me. And I hit him up the next day, man. I was literally paralyzed. I was mm-hmm. paralyzed for 2 months, bro. Really? Couldn't move right side, paralyzed. And I hit old boy up the next day. My grandmother held the phone up to my face, and I was like, "Man, don't even worry about it, man. I called the lead. Don't even find him. Don't. Man, it's football. Mm. This happens." And man, from then on, man, I grew callous as far as I grew stronger in the way I move in real life now.
So, Walk, take us through that. He hits you. You duck your head, and then what?
I ducked my head. I hit the ground, bro. And when I hit that ground, it felt at the time for about five to 10 seconds. It felt like 100 bees was stinging me because my body was going into shock. I was going to stop. And after that, my body collapsed. I went into, I forgot what it's called, where your hands and feet go all crossways. And wow. After I was in so much pain, bro. At the time, it was Corliss, Andrew Corliss looking down. I'm like, man, if you don't call these people out here and come get me, I'm like, because I'm hurt, bro. And after I said that to him, I was out of there, man. I passed out because I was in so much pain. and in so much shock that.
Well, you said pain, like when you say the bee stings, like you just talking about like just all over your body, numbing what?
All over my body. It's like your body going numb. You got them little, what they call them, tingles, sprinkles in your body. Yeah, I had that full body.
Wow.
Yeah,
From shoulders to toes.
Shoulders to toes, man. And at the time, I'm on the field. I mean, I'm on the field crying. I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. Next thing I know, I'm trying to yell. And next thing I know, I go hoarse. And after that, like I said, I just collapsed, man. I was out of it. Mm. Yes, because after that, because my narrow canal is where you turn your head, it collapsed on me. So I couldn't, so it cut off my air supply and all.
So you passed, man, you could have died right there on the spot.
On the spot, because when he hit me, it put a bruise on my spinal cord. Hmm. It's instantly stopped breathing, bro.
Wow.
The trainers and the paramedics, all the guys got to me in time to calm me down. I start breathing. I couldn't move. And at that time, I went to the hospital. I done a doctor. I was like, I think that was your last play. I was like, man, y'all got to be kidding me. And so it happened. God was looking down on me, and I had signed a disability policy with Lords of London, and I started tapping into that, and I started thinking, I'm like, yeah, it might have been my last play. You feel me? Mm.
I mean, you're numb. You have the conversation with the guy that hit you. Then what? What's the rest of the story? Like, you know, I understand the money, I understand all that stuff, but what's going on in your head? Like, how are you processing all of that stuff?
Man, the processing was crazy, man, because once again, we all have this number in our head and how long we're going to play, how long we want to play. And then once I got settled in, Aaron Rodgers came to the hospital, all my guys, Mike McCarthy, everybody came in and done their thing. And after I got time to calm down and think, I'm like, man, what's the next phase of my life? So I went into this deep, deep depression. I went to a deep depression probably 2 years to check me up out of that deep depression. I went in a dark hole where, if we can talk openly and free, it was a lot of addiction started popping up. Things that I was doing out the ordinary, you know what I mean? Things I never even thought about doing because I love to keep my body pure and clean. And so all of these addictive personalities started coming. I started getting very impulsive. Because once again, when I got knocked out, 44% of my brain was dysfunctional. And so I couldn't process things. I couldn't think. I couldn't even, you know what I mean? I couldn't do much, Steve. So I went to Pure Sports Recovery, where they do a ton of rehabilitation for guys that had head trauma, addictions, all over the line. I went there and I took a time out in life, man, and caught up and try to become normal and become try
so
to.
So when you say 44% of your brain
was different, wasn't working.
What are some of those, if you don't mind me asking, what were some of those things you weren't able to do anymore?
As far as process, like if I seen it, I want it. You feel me? As far as like going out and hanging out, being with the wrong crowd.
No. I'm talking about 44% of your brain wasn't processing. So I'm talking about you get up in the morning, and I'm asking, and I don't want to sound stupid, but like, can you brush your teeth?
Yeah, I can brush my teeth. It was just at the time, like if some occurred as far as a business adventure, my thought was, bam, I'm just on it. Not thinking, not going through my system and processing things right. I can go all down the line with you, bro. Drug. it was a combination of things. Mm.
And so you go to this facility and what are some of the techniques or what are some of the rehab stuff that you have to do to get it back. Like, you know, somebody listening, they going, man, what is that? I'm trying to give the listeners a understanding of what rehabilitation is for, what that looks like for someone who loses 44 or 40% of their brain use.
It looks like it's called neurofeedback, where they put a map on your head.
Wow.
It's a map. It's like an X-ray almost. Mm-hmm. And they put a cap on your head, basically like my cap now. And they put all these wires on your head and attach them. And you're looking at this screen, and the screen, maybe I'm a football player. The screen maybe have a kicker on there. Mm-hmm. And you have to sit there and just focus on the screen. And if you focus right, the kicker kick it right through the uprights every time. And if your focus go elsewhere, the kicker just, he'll start shanking them. It'll be off. So it was teaching me how to process and wow. how to sit with things and how to settle my brain with this dysfunctional, meaning I had bleeding all over here, all on my left side, because every time I took a tackle, I leaned to my left side. So I had a ton of contact. In the frontal lobe of my brain.
Wow.
Where you make all your decisions that is right here in the front left of your brain.
Hmm.
So they put a map on my head. I've done a lot of meditating. It was some crazy stuff that bounced back, man. Like I said, I've done 24 months of that.
So you was in there 24 months?
On and off. I had to, on and off. I was going to see my family to try to keep that communication going and dealing with being retired from the NFL, dealing with that and trying to just process everything and the whole thing of 24 months, 2 years of rehabilitation.
So you had the transition of no longer playing football unexpectedly, transition of learning how to use your brain, learn how to process something that is, you know, very traumatic, having to grieve, right? Also having to be dad, you know, trying to, you know, I'm just assuming based off conversation, trying to save your marriage, because there's obviously some impact and there's some residual behavior that really impacts the family, impacts yourself, right? You know, nobody is really educated at this point between you and your family to know how to deal with these things, right? There's no roadmap. There's barely a roadmap for parenting. You have no roadmap for parenting, marriage, and brain dysfunction, right?
It was a beast, man. It was different for sure.
Mm.
And it was one of those things now, I tell guys now, I always have a plan. I mean, because we don't know. It's a game. What we call it, any given Sunday. Now we play Mondays and Thursdays, but any given Sunday, your career can be taken away from you. Seize the moment and play hard.
Man, play hard. Tell me how big of a role did your wife play into your recovery? And, you know, and I'm assuming, you know, probably man, she's the real all-star in the family based off of just what you guys went through and dealing with. And you know, I can't imagine. I'm just all assuming, but I'm just kind of thinking about it, you know, putting myself in your shoes. I can't imagine. I've been injured as well. And, you know, you have that you have the grieving process and in any injury. But the injury you sustained was something that was very, very much deeper impacting for your family than most football, normal football injuries. That was not a normal football injury.
Yeah, man. It grew. She grew strong, man. She grew strong, hella strong through this. She had to help me walk, get to the restroom with any man. If an alpha man don't want any woman helping use the restroom, so at the time she had to help me use the restroom, help me get up out the bed, lift my back up. So it was some of them things that, where it's like, damn, I got this lady right here helping me do every damn thing. So like now she's just, man, she's so strong now, and Like I said, I'm blessed, man. I got five boys where I get to bless the game to. Yeah. And see the real MVP of the family.
Yeah. Well, as you're seeing your wife have to do everything, what's going on inside your head? What internal dialogue are you having about yourself? Your wife is helping you use the bathroom. You can't take that very lightly. You go from catching touchdowns. First of all, you go from catching touchdowns at University of Texas. You're in Green Bay, title town. You're playing with Aaron Rodgers, right? You're out there. You're playing with Donald Driver, right? Ahmad Green is, you know, he's still right there. You know, he's not all the way removed, but I think it was probably about 1 or 2 years before he had moved on. So you're out there playing with some pretty darn good football players, right? And you're in a place that all football. You're at the height of your career. And then a couple of months later, man, you need assistance going to the restroom. That can't be easily taken. And I just wonder for somebody listening that's going through something, you know, what were you going through?
Man, I was going through a lot. I was going through. I stayed in my head as far as I'm like, man, I got this lady right here. Help me! I just got done. You know what I mean? Breaking 3 or 4 tackles, getting to the zone. Throwing up the wild TTO, you know what I mean? And now I'm here, can't move. Mm. I mean, so that I did not take lightly. I took it real hard, and it was days where my wife, or now he's my 14-year-old. At the time, he was a youngster. They couldn't stand to be around because I was always upset. Like, what if this happened? Mm. And then I got to the grieving point where I was just like, man, God made it happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. And but like I say, it's a thing I did not take lightly. And now, man, I'm doing wonders, mm-hmm. Helping and give back and get a game back to people.
Man, how cool is it now then to be able to play, coach your kids? Like, what do you enjoy most about that?
I just enjoy, you know what I mean, helping them and showing them how to be a leader and, you know what I mean, and finishing. Not only finishing your rep, just, you know what I mean, if you got someone over here that's not doing what they're supposed to do, lift them up, help them finish. Hmm. And that's my whole thing about teaching my boys now. Because like I said, I got all my boys are thoroughbreds and we're going to make it happen.
Cut to it, let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from cuttoitpodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So what sports are they playing?
Right now, I got football, and football, basketball, and track.
Ooh.
Yeah, man. Okay. Yeah, I got a little quarterback. I got pretty much everything you guys want.
Mm. All right, what my man doing in track there?
My man doing triple jump, long jump, 200, and he run the 800 relay.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Little dude, six foot, 185.
Wow, little dude is 6 foot.
Eighth grade, Steve.
Goodness gracious. That's pretty cool. Man.
But yeah, man. It's awesome, man.
Yeah. And then, so all your boys are playing sports.
All my boys play sports. Every last one of them.
Yeah, man. So how are you and the wife doing this? You got five boys all playing sports, man. Y'all playing zone coverage, but you only got two drivers though.
Yeah, we playing zone. We I got to get an auntie, phone a friend, and we get the mammy's working, son.
Yeah, yeah. What man? What's the best part about? You know, being present for your boys and playing sports. What's some of the things that you see, you know, obviously with you not having your folks in your life, what are some of the things that you see, or maybe you don't, or, you know, are you, I know for myself that there's sometimes I'm parenting as a dad, but I'm also, sometimes I get a little emotional as a son.
Yeah.
You know, because my dad was in my life, but I wasn't raised in the same house. So when you're not raised in the same house, you know, there's little things that you miss, you know, when you're not there.
Yep. And that's my thing, man. My big thing and the thing I love to see and love to do is wake up to my boys and love on them. Mm. And when they come from if it's a hard day of school and easy day of school, is just loving on them right when they hit that door or right when I'm in the carpool line. It's just, I mean, the things that I didn't get, I try to implement that into my boy's life and just, you know what I mean, hugs, kiss on the cheek and things like that, bro. The things I didn't get at all. Mm-hmm. And just every chance I get.
What, how are you at the games? You a loud parent, quiet parent? I don't see you being a quiet parent, but go ahead. Tell me a lie though. Tell me a lie.
I'm pretty quiet, bro. Because like I said, we put in so much work.
Yeah.
And I believe in if you put the work in, you ain't got to say nothing. So I'm actually really quiet. But I'm not quiet when we're in the lab working though.
Yeah. The lab. So you training them?
Yeah, I train my boys. Like I said, I just started a company. It's called Elevate U, and I do a ton of agility work, feet work, and conditioning. And yeah, man, I train my boys probably 3-4 times a week.
Mm. They enjoy it, or you enjoy it?
You funny, man.
No, I'm just. Hey, no, he, I got three. Enjoy- I got three boys, and two of them right now are old enough, you know, and I try to, you know, some of the training or go with them and train, or they train with me, and, you know, sometimes it can be challenging.
Yeah, real talk. I enjoy it, man. And my 14-year-old, he loves it, man. He eats it up. I get in there with him and, you know what I mean, run routes with him. On the flip side, I cover him every once in a while.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah, I get out there and play DB also. And now I got a 9-year-old. He's more of a in the booth guy. He's gonna come knock you out. He don't like the grind. He don't like the conditioning because he's a more thicker kid. Mm-hmm. And I gotta beat it into him a little bit. So, but he's one of those kids where when he get older, see his brother grinding. Yeah. It's all gonna mesh.
Yeah, yeah. You hope.
Oh man, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, man. So what do you? Obviously, you said you're doing jelly working. You're doing that stuff. You know, man. How is life now for you? Just you know, inside your head, internally. You know, just based off what you've been through, the peaks you've had in your life. Also, now the valleys. You know, how do you maintain just your wellness?
Yeah, I like it. Now how I maintain is you know what I mean, how I came out the NFL. You know, and I know, they had the screen for you. They said 6:30, 7:30, 8:30. You got to be somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. And now I set myself up where I put myself on a schedule. Of course, my wife helped me to, if some weeks I'm slipping, she's like, what are your skills at? You know what I mean? So I keep myself on a routine and make sure I have me time too. Me time meaning go do the things I like. I like to golf now.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah, I'm a golfer, bro. If you ever wanted, I got you.
I mean, you don't have to tell me like that. Goodness gracious. You must be a good golfer then.
No, I ain't that good, bro. Oh. I like to dress. I like to look good, bro.
Yeah. Oh, so when you come play golf, you look good and you got two boxes of balls.
I got two boxes of balls, yep. Straight up. But I ain't zero when we leave.
Dang, lose two boxes?
And no money.
I ain't two boxes, bro. I ain't gonna lie to you. I be shaking them, boys.
Yeah. So most people playing golf, you out there keeping the maintenance department employed.
I can't keep boys busy, but hey, my mind is going to have fun. Yeah. If you, I'm not taking it too serious, so yeah. You might not want to play with me.
No, I'm not taking it serious, but so let me ask you this then. You dress nice, you bring two bucket of balls, and then you also lose money while you're playing. Is that what you said?
No, hold on. I don't lose money though, because I know my game ain't that tight.
So I just play. I just really play like a quarter, like 50 cents a hole.
Yeah. Hey, can you play though?
I can play. I just like the competition of. I like the competition of 50 cents a hole, just straight up. You know, if you win the hole, like if I get a 10 and you get an 11, well, I win, right? Just kind of. It ain't. It's not about like. That is just the competition of the shot and the pressure, you know?
It is. Can you shoot your jersey number at least?
I can go beyond my jersey number. But I like playing, but also I like the process of it. I'll go out on the driving range, man, some headphones and just lose myself a little bit. You know, I can listen to some R&B, I can listen to rap music, I can listen to gospel. It really doesn't matter to me. I can go with whatever. I do actually enjoy the tranquility of golf sometimes by myself.
That's real. That's real. I like that solo time. Yeah. And that's basically what I do. Sometimes I go out by myself and play solo, and guys look at me, this cat ain't got no friends over here, but I got my music cranked up,
yeah.
I got my cigar going, and I'm good.
Or that maybe they're just looking, they see how bad you are, and they say, man, nobody wants to play with
them. Hey, you might not be lying.
You out there hitting, man, you be 3-4 hits on the first drive. You look around. Ain't nobody around. So let me give me another one. That was a practice.
Hey, look at you. I do that. You must do that too, though.
Yeah, I do. That's the whole purpose of going by yourself. You're not in a rush. I've always felt this way with golf. You can't be in a rush if you're playing golf. Or you try not to be.
But when I got my wife, my kids on my head, I'm like, man, I can't even play right, man. I'm shanking them boys left and right.
When I don't have a lot of time, I'll just play. You know, nine holes.
Yeah, a quick nine. Go to the crib. That's what I do now. Regardless, I can't do the 18 holes.
Yeah, appreciate your time, brother. Thank you.
Anytime, Steve.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. You are competent, and most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut To It. Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut To It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager, Joe Fushi, social media team, Wesley Robinson, and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut To It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Lebrecht, production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.